Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN Studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, the NFL, man. The reality writers, I know there's a writer's strike going on, but somebody's working OT to go ahead and make these storylines for the National Football League. How are we doing today, man?
We're doing good. I was a little worried about you, though, in all honesty. You know, I was worried about you and your Dallas Cowboys, how you're feeling about this and what you thought about this. So, you know, I wasn't surprised. I think, to me, Kyle Shanahan made it clear that, you know, this Trey Lance ship was sailing. I thought it sailed after the Houston preseason game last year when they brought Jimmy from field over A over to field over B and said, you're staying, Jimmy. So I think that, look, you know, in all seriousness, give the 49ers credit. And I told this to Bill AD last night. He put it in the newsletter, which, by the way, Femi, I don't know, if you don't read the Bill AD newsletter, you're missing some incredible nuggets in there. The man does an unbelievable job.
Yes, sir.
He is truly a wordsmith and provides a ton of information. But anyway, so what I told him last night was, look, they admitted they made a mistake. It just wasn't going to work out. And they got rid of their mistake, and they moved forward. And, you know, we can all play the game of look how much they gave up, what they did. You know, this has been documented going back to I think I was on a podcast here on Gil's podcast, and I had two guys to tell me there's no way you could trade to go up to get – you had to go trade up to get Trey Lance. Trey Lance was going to be the star of this draft. We had that disagreement, and I think that's been proven correct, that he's not the star of the draft. And I think now he has a chance to reestablish his career in Dallas, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, no, it is a chance for him to reestablish his career. And let's set the table first before we go further into this discussion, because there's a lot – of angles, a lot of meat on the bone here with Trey Lance now going to the Dallas Cowboys, a fourth-round pick going back to the 49ers. But coming up in 15 minutes from now, next segment, it's college football week zero. We get college football today, Michael, and we're going to have the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, also the host of VSiN Primetime Monday through Friday, which you can check out 6 to 9 Eastern time. It's Tim Murray. He'll be joining us to break down week zero, including Navy against Notre Dame in Ireland. We'll get into that in 15 minutes. Then 45 minutes from right now, Carl Jick-Jack Johnson from the Beau Rivage in Biloxi. He'll join us to talk some more college football. We'll get TG's thoughts. Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director at the Borgata at 11:15 Eastern, 8:15 Pacific. And then at 11:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific, Brian Baldinger, NFL Network analyst, to give his thoughts on what he's seen throughout the NFL preseason, which concludes tomorrow. And then we play for keeps. Then it's the regular season in the National Football League. But let's continue our discussion here. Trey Lance, once again, if you were sleeping under a rock yesterday afternoon or last night, Trey Lance traded from the 49ers to the Dallas Cowboys for a fourth-round pick. Were you surprised, Michael, by the destination? Because I think we bandied about on the podcast, on the GM Shuffle podcast, that, hey, there could be a trade, but maybe it's unlikely because who's going to give up the assets? But trade was always in the discussion. Were you surprised that it happened to be the Dallas Cowboys who entered the conversation?
Well, you never know what the grade of the player is. When you're dealing with someone like Trey Lance who doesn't have a lot of pro experience, most of the teams, what they'll do is go back to what they graded the player coming out. Mm-hmm. And the Cowboys, it's been reliably told to me that they had a second-round grade, a high second-round grade on Trey Lance. Mm-hmm. They did not have a first-round grade on him. But they liked some of the things he did athletically. And I think they've got turned the corner that Will Greer, their third-string quarterback, just isn't going to cut it. And so, you know, they felt like they had a need. This has nothing to do with Dak Prescott. This has everything to do with they had an opportunity to get a guy that they had a high grade on coming out, and their third-string quarterback wasn't what they thought he would be. And for this season, he's only going to cost them $950,000.
Yep.
Now, next year he'll cost just a little over $5 million. So for 2 years at basically $3.1 million, the Cowboys get to look at a guy who they had a high grade on, who really hasn't played a lot in terms of games. Now, he's practiced, but he has in terms of games. So they get a chance to evaluate the player moving forward. You know, people talk about, oh, they gave up a fourth-round pick. Do you realize if you're in the third round, you can move down 12 spots and pick up a fourth-round pick? Like, it's really not that, like, it wasn't a lot to pay. This is a Saturday pick for a guy that was picked third overall in the draft. So you're not giving up a lot. And, you know, the Niners get the get away from the guarantee. They paid the roster bonus this summer when he came to training camp. Remember, rookie contracts, you're not allowed to redo them, right? So nobody can go in and manipulate the contract. You got to take the contract as is. So they've paid the roster bonus already in terms of San Francisco. That counts against their cap. Now they get him, and his cap number is just a base salary of $950. And then next season he shoots up to, he has a roster bonus and a base salary. So for them, they're kicking the tires is essentially what they're doing. Is an expensive kick the tires? I don't know, because I think the reward is if they feel like they can get him to become a backup quarterback, or if they feel like he could become somebody that they could develop, maybe it's worthwhile. For me, would I have done it? No, I would not have. But I didn't have a second-round grade on Trey Lance when he came out in the draft. So I think there lies the difference.
Well, what was your grade on Trey Lance when he was coming out of North Dakota State a few years ago?
You know, my sense of Trey Lance was when he was – it was good athlete. What bothered me about Trey Lance was what I've learned from Coach Walsh going back. Don't take the one-year player or the good player and look forward. Take it and look back. Why did he not go – why did he go to North Dakota State? What happened at the University of Minnesota? Were they recruiting him? It's the same kind of conversation I had with Mitchell Trubisky. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Trubisky's Mr. Ohio in the state of Ohio, but he's at North Carolina. Well, Ohio State offered him, but they want him to play free safety. The University of Minnesota offered Trey Lance, but they want him to play another position. So what prompted that? You know, you have to dig into that. And I just felt like when you watched him play, it was sheer talent, but there wasn't a rhythm. His arm was never tied to his feet, you know? And so people get so caught up in, oh, my God, this guy, you know, how many clips of Anthony Richardson do I have to watch on Twitter of him throwing the ball all over the place? We know he can throw it all over. But can he throw it in rhythm? Can he throw it in timing? And is his feet tied to his arm? I just never felt it was the right marriage for Kyle. It never was in his offense to me, you know. And what was that rhetoric we heard? Well, he's going to change Kyle's offense. Well, he's not. Now he's in Dallas's offense, and we'll see how that works.
Yeah, and we've talked about how the 30 for 30 needs to be made about Trey Lance being drafted by the 49ers after moving up those three first-round picks to number three overall. Who was involved? Maybe it was the general manager, John Lynch, who spoke with KPIX, Bob Papa, and those guys, sorry, Greg Papa and those guys yesterday during the 49ers preseason game against the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, really hard day. Such a wonderful young man. You know, we took a shot, and it didn't work out. We own that. We take accountability for it. But I think, as I think you guys do, his story is still very much unwritten, and I'm excited for Trey. Dallas stepped up and really wanted him, and they came after him, and I think it's going to be a great landing spot for him. I could tell everybody it wasn't for lack of effort on Trey's part or on our part that it didn't work. Circumstances took hold, and he struggled through injuries, and this team's ready to win. And, you know, we like our quarterback room. We like Brock Purdy a lot. We like Sam Darnold, and we like Brandon Allen. So we wish Trey all the best in Dallas, and we'll always care about that young man and admire his work ethic and the person that he is.
So according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Trey Lance requested the trade on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The 49ers then discussed some deals with some teams. Sounds like it wasn't just the Dallas Cowboys, the Ravens, the Bills, the Lions had some interest as well. Dallas went ahead and gave the best deal, with that being the fourth round pick here. But I think, like you said, kudos to the 49ers for not falling for the sunk cost and saying, all right, hey, we did pay a pretty penny to get this guy, but it's just not going to work here. Let's abort mission and try something else. And hey, we have found a guy, at least in seven games, that we like right now to lead our quarterback room.
Well, they, you know, I mean, John can say what he said. The story hasn't been written because he has only played in four games. He's 2-2. But they wouldn't be making this move if they didn't know what the ending of the story was, right? Mm. He's not, you know, they felt like Sam Darnold's better. They actually felt, I think, really, in all honesty, I think they felt Brandon Allen was better.
Yeah, I think so, too.
For what they want to do. I mean, that's pretty clear. Like, all through when he didn't come to work on Wednesday, there was a sense that Brandon Allen was the guy that they actually were going to keep as a third. I mean, this really worked out well for them to be able to trade him. And also it worked out that they got away from the $5 million guaranteed next year, which that money can then go to Bosa. They eat a lot of cap room in this. But, look, the story has been written in San Francisco, and you and I have had this debate on the on GM Shuffle. They watched him. I mean, just because we haven't seen him in games doesn't mean the story hasn't been written. Now, can he improve? Well, if they thought there was a huge upside, they wouldn't have signed Sam Darnold. They wouldn't have let Sam Darnold be the backup. Like, you've got to read the tea leaves here. Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold came in there. They knew last year this wasn't going to work. They've been planning on this. They've tried to masquerade it. And let's face it, Trey Lance is a popular person on Twitter. No matter what, you know, even though he doesn't play, everybody, you know, thinks immediately he's going to take over for Dak Prescott. I mean, like, seriously, no, he's not. He's not going to take over for Cooper Rush. They're going to see what they have, and they're going to make a decision and see how he grows and moves forward. It'll be a different offense for him to learn. It'll be a different structure for him to understand. His talent will certainly help the Cowboys. They get ready to play Philadelphia. Look, Trey Lance will do a good Jalen Hurts impersonation in practice. There's no question. So that'll help them.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about the Cowboys angle of this when we have our new episode of the GM Shuffle podcast that's coming out Monday morning. But for the Dallas Cowboys, and I am a fan, so I'll be full disclosure there, but I think it's shrewd business. Taking a lottery ticket, it's a futures bet that they're making here that maybe we can develop him into something to where potentially flip him a couple years from now for maybe a third or a second round pick, you know, because we know that his name is always going to be bandied about. Maybe they can get him to play well in the preseason in the future. So I think it's shrewd business. We'll have more about this angle coming up on the GM Shuffle podcast. We encourage everybody to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. New episode drops on Monday. But on the other side, we turn our attention, College Football Week Zero. Tim Murray, host of VSiN Primetime and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, joins us next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the GBank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time and 2% on other purchases. GBank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSiN. That's g.bank/VSiN. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out in Las Vegas. Before we get to Tim Murray, I just thought it was funny, Michael. My mentions were absolutely on fire yesterday after this Trey Lance trade. But the funniest one I thought was one of our viewers who said that this story was written solely to give Michael Lombardi and Femi Abebefe content for the Monday podcast. So we're going to have a lot of fun with that coming up on Monday. Trey Lance once again with the Dallas Cowboys. But it's College Football Week Zero, and joining us right now is Tim Murray, the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, also host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out 6 to 9 Eastern Time right here on the Sports Betting Network. Tim, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Big day. College Football Week Zero is here. And let's start with the biggest game, being Navy and Notre Dame over in Ireland. So many storylines with this game, new offenses. You have the new rules with the clock not stopping after first downs. Like, how do you sort of attack this from a betting perspective? Navy, Notre Dame right now, the Fighting Irish, 20.5-point favorites.
Yeah, you're right, Femi. I mean, think about it. A game with a 20.5-point spread, and we're sitting there, and there are a lot of storylines. That's the really interesting thing. I'll try to run through them briefly here. I don't want to use the whole segment on one game, but you've got a new head coach. I mean, Kenny Amatalolo, someone that I got to know a little bit when I worked on the Navy broadcast team, is no longer there. Was, you know, on the sidelines for over two decades, part of that staff, head coach for over 15 years. And now Brian Newberry steps in as the head coach, who was the defensive coordinator the last 4 years. They bring in Grant Chestnut, who was the offensive coordinator at Kennesaw State, worked with Brian Newberry down there in Kennesaw prior to his departure for the Naval Academy. And it's expected to be an offense with a couple new wrinkles. Still going to be triple option, still going to be run heavy, but there's an expectation of a little bit more passing for the midshipmen. Then you look to the other side, and you've got a new offensive coordinator for Notre Dame as they promoted from within with Jared Parker when Tommy Rees departed for Alabama. They have the arguably the most impactful transfer in all of college football and Sam Hartman stepping in as their new quarterback. So there's so much going into this game. And once again, like we've hit on, it's a 21-point spread. So, you know, as for this game, guys, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth and I've joked, you could talk yourself into circles. What I do like about Notre Dame on the defensive side of the ball, when you're playing a team like the Naval Academy, having linebackers that have experience, and that's exactly what Notre Dame has. J.D. Bertrand is a two-time captain. Jack Kaiser and Maris Liefel, all of these guys are grad students. They've all played against Navy. And J.D. Bertrand actually missed last year's game, which I thought ultimately was detrimental for the Irish in the second half when Navy was making their comeback. So I do like that about Notre Dame. I think the element of surprise, so to speak, for Navy helps them maybe potentially cover this. But I would side with the Irish here under three touchdowns. You know, laying points against a service academy is never an enjoyable endeavor. But I do like the fact, guys, that Notre Dame's opening up the season against against Navy. I think they've had extra time to prepare. And then lastly, I think the effort is going to be at a really, really high. Marcus Freeman called out his team when he got to Ireland, not because of what they've done in the preseason, guys, but he said he rewatched last year's Navy game and he really did not like the effort he saw in the second half. So I think Notre Dame's going to try to, you know, I don't want to say run it up on Navy. That's not the case. But I think they're going to try to put on a little bit of a show if they can against the Naval Academy, just to kind of say, tell the country, hey, you know, we've got a new quarterback and we're ready to roll in 2023.
Hey, Tim, you know, when you look at the lineup today in week zero, it's going to be rare that New Mexico State will be a 7-point favorite against anybody. I'm not sure New Mexico State would be a 7-point favorite against Social City High School down here on 6th Street, but they are today against UMass. And UMass is getting a lot of play. So yeah. What's your thoughts on this one?
I mean, this is the beauty of week zero, Michael. I mean, you know who the primetime game on ESPN is? This baby. Like, look at this beauty. UMass and New Mexico State, a UMass team that's won 3 games, I think, over the last 4 years. New Mexico State, proud Quick Lane Bowl champions from a year ago. Jerry Kill, their head coach, is donning a fresh tattoo after that bowl victory. I got to take the points here with UMass. And I know that's just a terrifying thing ever to say. But, you know, as you alluded to, Michael, New Mexico State's laying a touchdown. Are we serious? And look, if I go out and get beat and you can get the 7.5, I think now at Circa, look, that's a risk I'm willing to take. But, you know, New Mexico State beat this UMass team last year. You look at their schedule, they got to beat an uninterested Liberty team late in the season, beat an FCS team at Valparaiso and the Bowling Green to get to their bowl victory. The one intriguing fact about UMass is Pumachan, I believe is his last name. He was a 4-star recruit. He went to Clemson, then to Georgia Tech. He's now the guy at UMass for quarterback. So I'm intrigued to see him. Pavia, the quarterback for New Mexico State, guys, is a unique talent. He can, you know, he'll be running around. I'm actually very intrigued to watch this game. Lastly on this one, Don Brown is the head coach of UMass. This is stint number 2. He actually was the head coach of UMass when they made a run to the national championship game in the FCS ranks. The defense is his calling card, and the defense was actually decent last year. So I'm going to go ahead and take the points here. Hold my nose and take the points with the Minutemen.
We're speaking with Tim Murray, host of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Make sure you get that wherever you get your podcast. Also host of VSiN Primetime with our buddy Sean King, 6-9 Eastern Time. Well, Tim, how about the game that probably should be the headlining primetime game? And that's the game that features the Heisman Trophy winner from last year, USC's Caleb Williams. The Trojans are taking on San Jose State, laying 31, I see as the consensus number, but there are some 31.5s and even 32s in the market. Total is at 66 here. Is this a spot where this is San Jose State's Super Bowl against the in-state rivalry kind of team here, or do you think that the Trojans win this one running away?
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people, Femi, talk about they want to take USC in the first half, and I wouldn't push back on that. And look, this total has moved a lot, and it's worth noting, and I'm sure you guys have hit on it. Week 0 and week 1 lines, guys, have been up for months. So, you know, the guys who can influence the market have got in there. They've taken their cracks already. Not to say that they might not get back involved, but I'm looking at this game a little bit at the total. And I'm not a big totals player, all in all, but USC, I think, has the ability, if they want to, guys, to name the score. I mean, as you mentioned, Femi, they have Caleb Williams. They've got all the weapons out there. to put up as much points as possible. And when you have a big total like 66 or 65 and a half, where Femi's sitting at circa, you do get a little bit worried that Lincoln Riley, in theory, could call off the dogs. The caveat to that would be this, guys. San Jose State is a viable offense. Chevin Cordero is the Mountain West offensive preseason player of the year. He's the quarterback for the Spartans. This is, I believe, his fifth year of college football, started at Hawaii, and his second year at San Jose State. We were fortunate enough to chat with Chevin and his head coach, Brent Brennan, on VSiN primetime. And, you know, Coach Brennan was really complimentary of how Chevin Cordero has kind of taken over as a leader and really taken over this program. So I think San Jose State guys will have the ability to score. I don't think they're going to quit, knowing that this is, as you said, Femi, I mean, what an opportunity to play the sixth ranked team in the country. And let's be honest, USC's defense, you know, was not a world beater last year. The reason they were as successful as they were was because of Caleb Williams. So there is a worry of, you know, potentially playing such a high total with the new clock rules and all of that. But I think USC, especially against the San Jose State defense that lost the defensive player of the year in the country, in the Mountain West, is to Femi's squad. Fajoko, the edge rusher, was a fourth round pick to Dallas. They lost a couple other big time pieces on that defense. So San Jose's defense will not be a strength. Both of these teams' offenses should be. So I think we could see some points in the Coliseum tonight.
Tim, last year Vanderbilt went over to Honolulu and was a 53-point winner against the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors. Now, I know Timmy Chang has 14 starters back, but it's only 17.5, and Vandy's playing at home. Does that surprise you?
I think it does, and call me crazy, Michael. I kind of like Hawaii here. I like Hawaii more next week against Stanford at home, catching 7, so that would be a play for me right now. But I think Hawaii's feisty, and I'll leave you guys with this because I know we're running out of time. Timmy Chang came on VSiN Primetime this week and unsolicited goes, I know that we're a 17.5-point underdog. I know that, you know, the win total's only 3.5. He's like, we're using that as motivation. So Timmy Chang, I God love him. He knows the spread. He told us he knows the spread. So they're going to be scratching and clawing tonight down there in Nashville. So I'm gonna back with Timmy Chang here in this spot. 7-1 ATS in their last 8 games of the season last year, guys, were the Rainbow Warriors.
I wonder if Timmy Chang knows the betting splits as well for this game, Hawaii.
I love it.
He is Tim Murray. Check him out on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, also on VSiN Primetime. Great work, Tim. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, you Tim.
All right. We'll talk some more NFL on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters recently sat down with Brent Musburger to discuss his new book, Gambler: Secrets from a Life at Risk. Now, for a limited time, get a free copy of Billy Walters' new book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today and use promo code Billy. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits. Remember to use promo code Billy when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription to get your free copy of the book. Copies are limited, so sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi's out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Thank you to Tim Murray, who joined us in the last segment. He is the host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, and also the host of our VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. If you missed Tim Murray's segment, check it out in podcast form, the Lombardi Line, when it drops a little bit later on this morning. But coming up in 15 minutes, Carl Jack Johnson, Racing Sportsbook Director over at the Beau Rivage. He will be joining us here as we'll continue our College Football Week 0 discussion here. But Michael, let's recap what we've seen over the last couple days in the NFL preseason, final week of the preseason. Last night, we saw Bryce Young and the starters play about a quarter against the Detroit Lions. Lions win that game 26-17, but when the Panthers starters were out there, they were up 10-0. Did you like what you saw from the Panthers and that first-string offense in particular?
You know, this weekend's interesting because what we're seeing is a lot of different philosophies, right? So let's go back to Thursday night before we talk about Detroit, Carolina. Okay. I mean, Pittsburgh has their first team offense out there, right? And the Falcons aren't playing their guys. and Pittsburgh looks exceptional. They put 14 on the board. Well, the same thing happened last night. You know, we watched Carolina put their first team offense out there, and Detroit were playing all their backups. And so they look good. And I think that finally they were able to protect Bryce Young well enough. But I think you have to be careful this weekend, really, to judge any team. Because, for example, last night the Titans tried like hell. They put their offense out there, their defense out there. Tannehill started the game. He didn't really play, didn't try to attempt a pass. But their first unit offensive line was out there the first half. And the Patriots played all their backups for the most part. So, you know, and the Patriots' backups held their own, especially defensively. I mean, they turned the ball over on their own six-yard line. They held them to a field goal. Now, Malik Willis played, and I understand he's not their starting quarterback, but I think you have to take that into consideration. Who's playing their guys versus who's playing their guys? And when you get that disparity, one team should dominate, like Pittsburgh dominated against Atlanta. You know, and Tennessee didn't dominate against New England, which says, okay, wait a minute, hold on. Indianapolis had their first team out there, and Philly played all their backups. Mm-hmm. And Philly's backups did well against them. So I think you got to really be careful when you go over these games to make sure that you're evaluating good against good and not good against bad.
Well, do you think that Carolina dominated last night against Detroit?
Well, I think they looked better. Let me say that to you. You know, yeah. I think they looked better, and they were able to move the ball in the game. You know, Detroit's offense with backups went down the field. They missed a field goal in the opening drive. Mm-hmm. You know, and Carolina had a 14-play drive, resulted in a field goal. Then they had a 7-play drive, resulted in a touchdown. And that's why they were able to, you know, and then they got their starters out. And then we became a backup game. And then, you know, the second drive for Detroit, they went 11 plays, scored a touchdown. I mean, Detroit's first half possessions went missed field goal, touchdown, field goal, punt, touchdown, field goal. I mean, that's pretty good for backups. Now, you got to see who we're playing for the Panthers defensively, and I think that's going to tell the tale.
Yeah, no, it most definitely will. I mean, I think from what I saw last night, it was a little clunky at times for that Carolina first-team offense, and maybe they're just kind of getting their system in line and all that stuff, getting comfortable with Frank Reich's system. But Bryce Young, I thought his escapability was really on display in that game, which is another just element of his game that he has there, being able to keep his eyes downfield, elusiveness within the pocket. I thought that was really impressive to see there. But you can tell that they probably need some more help at wide receiver. You know, it's like Thielen's one of their top guys. DJ Chark, I know, was nursing the hamstring injury, but the wide receiver.
Sounds like he's going to be out for week one. It sounds like they got to get Mingo to play well. I mean, rookie Mingo's got to play well. And I'm sure they're going to look and, you know, this is what happens here now. You got a couple days. First of all, the waiver wire teams can start cutting players, but the waiver wire doesn't go into full force until, I think, Tuesday when the final cuts are made. So all these kind of players are in limbo. I think you'll start to see some trades. You'll start to see some teams maneuver. You know, we have this guy available as a fourth receiver. And I think Carolina will try to do something to upgrade their receiving core if they can, if it makes sense based on some other teams, if they're going to keep one of their young players.
You mentioned Pittsburgh, and they were stellar all throughout preseason. They finished preseason 3-0, and it wasn't just against the twos, because obviously they played the twos of Atlanta, and they crushed those guys. Like, it was just it wasn't a fair fight. But we did see last weekend when Buffalo was playing their ones, Josh Allen was out there, Stephon Diggs was out there, like the defense was out there, and Pittsburgh was kind of taking it to them as well, like dominated them in the first quarter and a half. And Mike Tomlin was asked yesterday, or not yesterday, but excuse me, this was Thursday night, about why he decided to play his starters all throughout the preseason. And this is the quote that he had, and it's an excellent quote. He said, quote, "You can't get enough of these opportunities in a stadium. You work your tail off to simulate it in a practice setting, but it is what it is. I just think it's difficult to box without sparring. The preseason is an opportunity for us to spar and sharpen our sword for battle." Like that... Tomlin's just a quote machine right there, but that's a great philosophy that I 100% agree with, because like we said all offseason and throughout the preseason, you got to play football to get ready to play football.
There's no doubt. I mean, that's a Bill Parcells quote. I mean, Parcells truly believed that the offensive and defensive linemen were like boxers. They had a spar, and they had a play, and you know, the team had a play. You can't get ready for a fight if you're not going to spar, and I believe that. Now, some teams have gotten away with it. You know, some teams are really good at practicing amongst themselves without doing it in the game. Mm-hmm. I know this, when I was at the 49ers, people talk about the West Coast offense. I mean, those practices with Coach Walsh were very physical. Now, you know, he would have practices where they didn't have pads on, and we got a lot done, But those practices were physical. His teams are ready to play opening day. You know, we're going to see if they are. I think the Steelers will give the 49ers everything they want. I mean, they're going to be ready to play, especially defensively, which they have improved. They really have improved. Now, Atlanta, you know, they went out there and they didn't really have any intention of trying. They just wanted to get through the game. Same with New England last night. New England was just trying to get through the game. They had a lot of guys they didn't play. They got a couple of their younger players on the field. They still have to go through their offensive line to see, but, you know, that wasn't their intention, was to try. They wanted to get it over with. They had a lot of work in Green Bay, and I think they ultimately decided that their best next 2 weeks is figuring out what they have. Same thing with Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia just wanted to get that game over. And even though, you know, they went right away to Tanner McGee, right? They didn't even – Mariota played one series, got him a field goal, and then they went right to McGee. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, you know, how it affects you opening day. Because I'm with you. I think you got to play your guys.
What'd you make of our guy Anthony Richardson, or at least Elliott's guy Anthony Richardson? I know he was excited to see some of the plays out there Thursday night.
Well, you know, I think, look, anytime you're playing in these preseason games, especially against, and I watched the tape of it. I mean, look, Anthony Richardson's dynamic, you know, but once again, I think you got to be really cautious, right? When you study, and the more I watch Anthony Richardson, the more he reminds me of Josh Allen as a rookie. Now, Josh Allen as a rookie, he only started 11 games, but what Josh Allen did as a rookie, and I think this is where Anthony Richardson's headed, is 25.6% of his throws were off target. 25.6% of his throws were off target as a rookie. Last year, as a fourth or fifth year player, 16%. So he's improved that by 9%, which you say, well, isn't a lot? Yeah, it's a lot. That's a lot. 16%. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we are with Anthony Richardson. He's going to have some of those easy throws that he makes with crossers, RPO game. You know, the offense fits his skill set, but it's going to heat up a little bit differently when they go play Jacksonville and they're starting to get all these different kind of looks and disguises. You know, one of the things that I think people don't realize is what makes the game harder for the quarterback is disguise, right? Here's what we're looking at, but this is really what we're playing. Mm. And that only comes through experience. So I think what we saw with Richardson is kind of what we expected, inconsistencies, right? He's going to be really looks good, and he can run with it, and he's going to be really hard to tackle, and he's going to make some bad throws. And I think that's where we are, and it's going to take him some time. I think they're doing the right thing in starting him. I don't think they have any other alternative. You know, I do think I would be concerned as a Colt fan that I had our first team offensive line out there, and we struggled to get movement on that defensive front of the Eagles. And none of those guys that were in that defensive front of the Eagles are going to be playing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, so when he escapes from the pocket, and I know people put it up on Twitter, oh, my God, look at Anthony Richardson. None of those guys are going to be playing on Sunday, opening weekend. They're not. So it's kind of a little bit of a false illusion.
And I think the important thing with Richardson as well, like you mentioned that, hey, we got to kind of pump the brakes. Like patience is probably what is required here. And from a betting perspective, it's maybe kind of dip your toe into the water, but don't really jump into the water if you're looking to back the Indianapolis Colts. They're 4.5-point home dogs against Jacksonville. I'm not saying to go run out and lay the points with Jacksonville, but maybe just pass the game and evaluate and see what actually happens on the field and see where Richardson is once they actually see the live bullets.
I mean, look, the Eagles' backup offensive line took the ball down the field and scored on the Colts' first team defense.
Not a good sign. What is a good sign is Jick Jack is on the way. He joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 plus to wager, new and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in most states. Welcome back. It's a week zero edition of the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi here on this Saturday morning. Saturdays in the fall, they are here. They've arrived. And joining us right now to continue previewing college football this upcoming afternoon, it's our buddy Carl Jig Jack Johnson, sportsbook director over at the Beau Revise. Jig Jack, great to see you. Happy college football week zero to you. Let's start with Navy Notre Dame, because I'm looking at my odds board right now, and there's movement on this total where I'm sitting at circa. We have now gone from 49 to 48 and a half. Do you agree with that movement that they're backing the under in this game that's going to be played over in Ireland?
You know, I do. I mean, we was talking about it off air here. You know, right now, we haven't moved yet. But, you know, that's the way the Sharps played this game. You know, they got on this game. You know, we've had this game up a little while. The Sharps hit Navy, and they're, you know, they like the under. I think, you know, just my personal opinion, I think this is going to be a closer football game than what we're expecting. So I think Navy can keep it close.
Hey, Carl, talk a little bit about now the new rules in effect, right? So we're back to – we're more of a pro game than we were back in – you know, than we were last year. And the pro game meaning this, that the clock won't stop on first downs in college football any longer. And so that's going to change the two-minute offense. It's going to change the game. And it's going to change the over and under totals. It's going to change the over totals, I think, significantly. Do you think, and you think this has already been baked into the number? I know the Sharps are really smart. The books are good. But how much do you think the number has been compensated, and do you still think there's room to play the unders in these games?
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. I think it's been put in, but I think this is something to watch, you know, because – the rules tend to affect in my, you know, college. From what I see, this rule may affect college football more drastically than what we're expecting, or maybe not at all. But, you know, with the clock, the clock's going to continue to run. You know, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, we're speaking with Carl Jig Jack Johnson, the sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage. Yeah, I think this clock rule is going to be something that I'm keeping my eye on, because if we see a majority of these games go under, maybe that's a kind of a hint as to what might happen and where the market might move for next week's week one games that are coming up a little bit later on next Saturday. Carl, you also said the USC game is of interest as well. Heisman Trophy winner Caleb Williams, we're going to see him tonight against San Jose State. Trojans 31-point favorites, total 66. How are the Sharps betting this game that kicks off 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific?
Yeah, so they're on the over on this game right here. You know, this public-wise, USC is getting 85% of the money, 80% of the ticket count. We opened here at 30.5 and 63.5. Right now we're at 31.5, 66.5. So that total has drastically increased, you know, 3 points, 3.5 points in some spots. So yeah, this is, you know, this is one of those games where, you know, sometimes first game of the season. See, I'm kind of scared to play stuff like this personally. I want to see a team at least play a game first, but you know, in all fairness, I mean, USC should probably run them out of the arena.
Well, they should, you know, but, you know, San Jose's sneaky good, and I think the clock's going to be in play here. I think that total's high, and I would think that Lincoln Riley's going to get his guys out of there early. I know you like Vandy. Vandy won by 53 against Hawaii. We just had Tim Murray on. They had the Hawaii head coach on, and he was talking about we're not a 17.5-point dog to Vandy. He knew the line, Timmy Chang. He understood it. And he kind of stood up to it. But you like Vandy today. Tell us why.
Yeah, I just do. I mean, look, I think Hawaii's in a tight spot. I mean, they're one of those teams, you know, this. So we talk about week zero stuff. You know, Hawaii plays another game in 5 days, Michael. So, you know, how much preparation have they put into each one of these? That's the thing. And then another thing is they made a long trip. Vanderbilt is a little bit improved from what we've seen throughout the year. So I think they get it done today at home. You know, we opened here at 17 and 53.5. And of course, the folks down here, they're betting it 75% of the money and the handle. The money and the ticket count is on Vandy here. And that total has went up from 53.5 to 55.5.
One of the most competitive games, at least from a spread standpoint, is Ohio and San Diego State. Right now, the Aztecs, 2.5-point favorites. Total is 48. And it's been a lot of Bobcat money coming in. Is there going to be a resistance point here where we see people buying back on the other side and taking San Diego State now that they're laying less than a field goal?
Yeah, I mean, so we've got a little sharp money here. We opened at 2.5, 49.5. We're at 2.5, 48.5 right now. We got a little sharp money play on Ohio just a little while ago. To be honest with you, they're getting they've got 75% of the money and about 40% of the ticket count. So when you see that, like we've talked in previous years, by the way, this is our third year together. It's an honor to be with you guys. So you'll hear us talking this season about, the high handle with the low ticket count usually is an indication that there's sharp play there.
Yeah, that's the one thing you always want to look for is that, when the public's on something, you get a high ticket count and low money. When the sharps are on it, you get a low ticket count and a low ticket count with a lot of money, which means there's substantial betting going on, which kind of indicates that some of the maybe the syndicates or some of the sharp bettors are making plays. And, I want to jump ahead 5 days from now. Florida has got to go out to Utah. And, we saw last year that was a great game. Utah's always good. We don't know if Cameron Risling, the quarterback for Utah, is going to play or not. But are you getting any action on that game this early in the season?
Michael, we haven't been so far. But so here's the thing. So, we've got one early game today, and the rest of these games are at night. So we've got folks coming in, and they will start playing this game. I would imagine that, if things go to trend here, they'll probably be playing Florida with us. A great game. I mean, this was this Utah team, defensively, they were really good. So it's going to be interesting to see, this Florida team without Anthony Richardson. We'll just see how it comes out. But right now we're sitting Utah is a 7-point favorite. The total's 46.5.
Jack, anything to report? And this is a game we haven't really discussed here so far on the show, but Florida International's taking on Louisiana Tech. La Tech is a 12-point favorite, total 57.5. Anything to report in that game, whether it's side or the total?
Yeah, I mean, so La Tech, so it's in a Louisiana school, is just, it's our next door neighbor. The folks down here that play the SEC so strong, they also play Louisiana Tech. So we opened this game 11 and 58.5. It's climbed now. It's right now it's at 12.5, 57.5. 70% of the money, 75% of the ticket count is on La Tech, which is not unexpected here.
All right. Well, this is week zero. I'm not sure what week zero means. I don't know why we can't call this week one. We can count, but we'll call it week zero. What's on the menu? How are we celebrating the start of college football? What is on this menu, Carl? Everybody wants to know.
Well, as you guys noticed, normally I don't wear a hat, and I'm actually wearing short pants right now. I mean, I look absolutely ridiculous, but I'm playing in a VIP golf tournament that we've got lined up this morning for our big sports bettors. This is finger food season, Mike. The wings, the hamburgers, it's one of those things where you want to eat constantly. You want to have something to grab and put in your mouth for 4 hours or whatever while you're watching ball games. So that's what I'm going to be focusing to. I'm going to it's finger food season, baby.
Finger food season. Make sure you pack the napkins as well with the wings. They get a little messy when you're watching the game. You don't want to get the remote control all dirty. He is Carl Jack Johnson, the sportsbook director over at the Beau Rivage, celebrating finger food season here with College Football Week Zero. Jack, thanks as always, man. Be well and good luck with everything.
I'm looking forward Carl. A great year. Our third together. I appreciate it, Michael, Femi. I love you guys.
Awesome stuff there. We love you too, Jack. Love having him on here on the Lombardi Line. We'll be back to start hour number two, previewing today's slate in the National Football League.